Well, anybody who stayed this long knows that the last of the letters of TULIP is a P, and that has to do with the perseverance of the saints. And since we're going to wind this thing up, it makes sense that that would be my topic. And I was assigned this topic, and I'm pretty excited about having received it. It was a good chance for me to better understand the people who are in the Calvinist doctrine, stuck into it. And as was mentioned, they have really tried to change their name here. It's really, they call it What is Reformed Theology. They were trying to reform the Catholic Church. Sometimes you just wonder why anybody would try to fix something that is broken, dead, and doesn't work rather than go with what's right. And yet they do. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 4 was my assigned psalm. So we might as well cover it. Psalm 4, verse 4, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. This morning, for some reason, I woke up at 4:30, and I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to wake anybody else, and I was hopeful that I'd go back to sleep. An hour later, I got out of bed. I was wide awake for an hour. But I meditated in that time. I spent most of that time in prayer for my family, for all of you, for those on the road. It's amazing how that hour went so quick. Meditation is a great way to spend your time as long as you're meditating on the right things. So again, my topic is perseverance. And I've been asked to compare this perseverance of the saints from the John Calvin's position to the true perseverance of the saints of the New Testament, us, Christians. But before I start, I'd like to ask my grandson Lance to come up and pray for the message. Lance is Sarah's youngest, and he's already 16 years old. It's hard to believe.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly, Glorious Father, thank you for this great and wonderful day that you provide for us. Thank you for the amazing power of prayer that we can ask and that we can feel confident to put our needs before you. And I would just pray for everyone who's feeling sick, for them to feel better, for the lost to be found, especially for my brother, Peter, who's been sick for such a long time, that he would start getting better and start going back on the right track of health-wise. And just please help us all to have a great ending for this camp, and for us to appreciate all the preachers and everyone who has put so much effort into this camp. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Okay, so I want to spend most of my time, once I quit crying, on spiritual strength. But I do want to spend a couple minutes first on the P of TULIP, the perseverance of the saints, as they call it. In the Westminster Confession, which is really their document of faith, I'm quoting now, they declare, "They whom God hath accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved." I have this booklet, got it through, Davis had it, so I borrowed it from him. R.C. Sproul, Dr. Sproul, is one of their leading apologists. He's one of the guys that they'll all quote. So he says this, quote, "What is Reformed theology? In page 197, a simple way to remember the essence of the doctrine of perseverance is to learn this little ditty. If we have it, we never lose it. If we lose it, we never had it." That's as big a cop-out as I have ever heard in my whole life. And then he goes further and he says, "Or the shorthand expression of this doctrine is once saved, always saved." They're guilty of preaching once saved, always saved. It's not your fault. It is your fault. What? None of it has anything to do with you. How can God have 8 billion people on this planet now and none of them are responsible for their eternity? Makes no sense. It seems to me that Jesus had something to say about that back in Matthew chapter 23. We don't need to turn there. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, verse 37, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. If you can be unwilling, then you can be willing, and that's totally 100% choice. We have free will. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate, for I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus laid it out, and it's in there. It's all through there. That verse was stuck in my head. Something Sue said triggered it, and I wanted to share it with you. A couple of their proof texts, though. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, or 7 through 16. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power of God will be of God, not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us up, us also with Jesus will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. How can the inner man be improving if you don't have anything to do with it? Who's improving? Well, God's doing that. So I don't need to improve the inner man? I don't have any responsibility? What Dr. Sproul says about it? This is what assurance of salvation we have. We cling to by our fingernails. Anybody ever done any rock climbing? I haven't. Is there any rock climbing? If you're clinging by your fingernails, are you in trouble? Yeah. You're about to go down. Your fingernails weren't designed for you to cling by them. Their leading apologist is saying he's clinging by his fingernails? What kind of a eternal salvation do you have when you got to cling by your fingernails? Doesn't sound very good to me. Another line from the Westminster Confession. Quote, this perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will. Not upon their own free will. And they use as their proof text for that Romans 8, 31 through 36. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 36. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, that's pretty reasonable for any Christian. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. His commentary on that, we persevere in grace because God perseveres in his love toward us. Neither is there any limit to the merit of grace bestowed on us or to Christ's perpetual intercession for us. I can agree with a lot of what they say. I just can't believe that I have nothing to do with it. So what difference does it make whether I agree or disagree? How can this be true of a loving God that he will make of that nation that he's pulling out his bride unwillingly? You want to be married to me? You don't have any choice. I'm going to drag you out. I'm going to force you to be my bride. That makes zero sense to me. You don't want to be my bride? I won't choose you to be my bride. I wouldn't want you to be my bride if you don't want me. That would make some sense. What they say doesn't make any sense. In Romans 6:1, we're to continue in sin that grace may abound. Sounds like we have some choices. So what about Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6? They do have some answers for that, too. You're going to love them. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. They never were. It says they participated. It says they were part with the Holy Spirit. That says they were there. It also says it's impossible to renew them again if they fall away. So they change things and they say this is just like the parable of the wheat and the tares. This is just some of the tares that look just like wheat, but they aren't wheat. They're tares. So Hebrews 6 is for them. That's not what it says. They don't fall away because they were never called to start with. I don't understand. Partakers of the Holy Spirit were not really Christians. Don't understand that. And they finally say there is a distinction between the visible church and the invisible church. We just can't see the real church because it's invisible. It seems to me that God wants his church to be very visible. In fact, that's what the real perseverance of the saints is. And that's where I'd like to go to now. And by the way, that stuff's just crazy. It's just crazy. And I think they completely missed Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 31. I'm not going to go there. So where is the real spiritual strength? Where is what things that will change people's life? What is it that's going to bring about belief? Where is the power to overcome sin in what they're teaching and its temptation? And how do we run with endurance the race set before us if we don't need to? How could we possibly resist to the point of shedding blood if there's no reason to resist to the point of shedding blood in our striving against sin? Eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we die, go to heaven. Because I'm one of them frozen chosen. Hadn't heard that phrase this whole time. Frozen chosen. All of those are from Hebrews chapter 12. And so we persevere. We're going to go forward. We're going to move ahead. In the Greek, the word endure and the word perseverance are basically the same word. endure is hupomina, mini, mino, H-U-P-O-M-E-N-O. Okay? Perseverance is that same word, H-U-P-O-M-E-N-E. That's the difference. But it's a big difference in what they mean. Endurance is to suffer without yielding. Take a stand. Be there. Firm. This wall is enduring the wind. Okay? Perseverance, maintain a purpose in spite of difficulty or obstacles. And I like the way the New Modern Literal Translation has it. It's working endurance. Now, the purpose here is to stop the wind and the rain, the snow, and the cold. Okay? But there's no advancing these walls. They're where they're going to stay. The church has walls, but it's not supposed to stay stable. It's supposed to be moving out strongly, enduring, persevering, moving forward. We're not retreating. We're moving forward. When the troubles come, we have the strength to go forward. So from for the purposes of strength from Psalms and to do a little bit of due diligence to what I was asked to do. Back in Psalms chapter 111, Psalm chapter 111, verse 3, 111 verse 3, splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. Is his righteousness stable? Is it just going to hold, or is it moving forward? Has it got progress? In verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why fear him if he's just picking and choosing? There's no reason to do that. A good understanding have all those who do his commandment. His praise endures forever. And verse chapter 112, verse 3, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. We get a picture of these things. I was recently working with some folks through Jay's booklet, Cleansing the Inside of the Cup, Working on the Inner Man. And he makes a statement in there, and it kind of caught me, because it's not usually the way Mr. Wilson talks. He said, faith is kind of a word that's nebulous. And I'm probably taking him a little out of context. Mr. Matt probably could straighten us out on it. But nebulous, that word's a little nebulous in our thinking. So God threw in chapter 11 of Hebrews so we'd understand what it meant. By faith they did. By faith they did. By faith they did. We get a picture of faith. Faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things seen, not seen. But it's hard to get that picture without action, without a picture, without an illustration. I'm sorry, I do better with comics that communicate sometimes than good, well-written words by a college-educated professor. Maybe I'm simple-minded. No answers from the crowd. So I thought maybe we might look at some New Testament examples of how God uses the word perseverance. We're going to bounce around a little bit. Quite a few verses about this. First Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul's encouraging Timothy, his son in the faith, and he tells him what he wants him to do. Do this, don't do that, be careful, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, you know. They really do that, and they criticize because they're envious. They're jealous because once you get old, you never get to be young again. It just doesn't work. You know, when I get home, I can take off what helps me to see, and I can pull out what helps me to hear, and I can go to bed, you know, because, but when I was young, I didn't need that stuff. Just amazes me after sitting for an hour in the assembly and listening to great messages and Luke's preaching, and then I get up and there's hurting the knees, hurting the hips, the back, and after about 3 minutes, I'm standing straight up again, but everybody left the building. Verse 16. Pay a close attention, Timothy, to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear you. So apparently, according to the Pentecostal or the Calvinists, it's Timothy who has to preach to you. That's what it says. You'll ensure salvation for those who hear you. So it's not even Apostle Paul who wrote it to Timothy. It's Timothy who's the Savior. Huh. These guys are really goofy. Perseverance, so stick to it. Keep going. How much trouble are you going to have, Timothy? Lots. You're going to have opposition. There's going to be a whole bunch of people who don't want to hear it. Not only do you need to endure, but you need to persevere. You've got to have working endurance. It's going to have to go someplace. It has to be effective in moving forward. In James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 12, blesses the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. It doesn't sound like they got just chosen. They had to choose to love him, and then they had to persevere against some challenges. And if you'll do those things, you receive the crown of life. How about Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5, I'm going to pick it up in verse 3. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation. We triumph. That's another meaning for the word exalt. We exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. That working endurance is brought about by tribulation. Until you have to fight back against something, push back against something, work against something that's trying to move you, because Satan's not going to stand still. He's trying to get us. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's a raging lion. He's not going to wait for us to build up our faith. God, fortunately, helps us so much. But we got some responsibility, too. Let's persevere. Once you've got perseverance, and that perseverance will bring about proven character, and proven character brings about hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We get the help we need to persevere. We get the help we need, but we're going to get some tribulation in our lives. If we aren't, we're probably like Dave Fagan used to call him a lazy boy and a lazy boy. Wasn't it Dave Fagan who said that? Any of you own lazy boys? Mike Harbor. Right, Mike Harbor. You're right, absolutely right. Used to say a lazy boy and a lazy boy. I think he'd been to the house shortly before he said that. My house. We're going to face some tribulation. Let's get excited about it. How do we count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, if we don't gain from the trial? Why have a trial if we're frozen and chosen? Or chosen, frozen. Or frozen, chosen. Chosen, frozen, something or another. Saved, always, once, forever. Hogwash. Okay. Turn to Romans chapter 12. In verses 10 through 13. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. We've had a great example of contributing to the needs of the saints this weekend from the Heimbaugh family and all those who are working to make this camp what it's been. We've seen great examples of that, but it did take perseverance. I don't know about you guys, but when I did crawl in here at 5:30 this morning, there are three gentlemen over here having conversation about the day and the work that needed to be done. Miss Kyle, Kurt, Mr. Steve. Well, stuff had to be done. Somebody's got to do it. We got to persevere. We got to keep working. We don't get to take it easy. That's not part of the deal. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. But because of your stubbornness and because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation, there will be... Is that rhetorical? There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There is no partiality with God. Everybody. Wait a minute, no partiality with God? I thought some got chosen, some didn't get chosen. Sounds like partiality. Sounds like hogwash. One of my favorite terms. I don't know why. I haven't used it in a long time. Romans chapter 8. These books are just replete with what we've got to do, and we've got to persevere. Romans chapter 8 and verse 25. Let's pick it up in verse 24. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, with working endurance, we wait eagerly for it. I'm waiting for something, but I'm not standing still waiting for it to come to me. I'm doing my part. There are souls that need the Word of God preached to them. When I was about 14 years old, 12 to 14, something like that, a long time ago, and I don't have a real clear memory of the age, I took a, we were babysitting a dog for a friend of my father's, and he was away, and the dog was kind of fussing around, so I took him for a walk in a park nearby in Denver, Colorado. Walking the dog, and somebody walks up behind me and says, oh, what kind of dog is that? And I tell him it's an Airedale, and so on and so forth. He talks to me for a couple minutes, mostly about the dog, and then he says, have you ever had sex? I'm a 12-year-old, 13. I said, no. I really didn't know a whole bunch about what he was talking about yet. Maybe I was even younger than 11 or 12. I said, no. He said, you want to try? No. Leave me. Get away from me. That man has a soul that will burn forever in hell if I or somebody else doesn't talk to him about the truth of the Word of God. Does it take perseverance to preach to people you know have done horrible things in their life? There's no question, I wasn't his first try. Apparently, trolling in Washington Park in Denver, Colorado is a good place to go, huh? For somebody like that. That's pretty tribulation that I really would prefer not to have to deal with. But if his soul, an immortal soul, that will either spend eternity in heaven with God or hell is on the line, I've got to try to talk to him. Now, I was too young and, you know, have no idea who he is. But who might we have to talk to? And that guy's not knocking on my door. But maybe I should be knocking on this. I have to persevere. I have to persevere in doing good. I have to persevere in tribulation. I have to build from proven character. I must get that crown of life. I want it desperately. I'm gonna do everything to get there. And I'm going to have to be diligent about my teaching. I'm going to have to persevere. Turn to back in this one. For we hope for what we do not see. With perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. In the Calvinist thinking, could that guy possibly be saved? God could choose him or not choose him? We'd say, no, he can't be. Somehow his sin is worse than the sin of lying or deceitfulness. Or maybe finding a $100 bill laying here and not sticking it in the donation box. If I find one, I probably will do that. Put it in the donation box, not keep it. Where is our thinking? Romans 8:25, we covered it. For if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. It's coming. God promised it. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take that working endurance. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement, how does he give us that perseverance? Zap! You're persevering. No. Whose house got zapped? Oh, they had to leave. They're in Texas. going back for some more zapping, I guess. Perseverance is not God zapping you with perseverance. He gives you trials. Yay! I can hardly wait for more perseverance. No, because it's good. God wants us to have it. For what was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We glorify Him by preaching His Word. We glorify Him by reaching to the lost. We glorify Him by doing those things that somebody who loved their Lord and was told to go do it would do it with perseverance. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. He's telling us to get ready because it's a battle, right? Put on this armor. Get armored up. Verse 18. For with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. If we needed to persevere in prayer for people to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, then we better get busy and do it. In Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Anybody over the age of 60 in this crowd? There's about 25 who admit it and another 20 who won't. What does it say here? Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. You mean I don't get to retire? Nope. Persevere. No retiring. Yay! It means that there's going to be some old men trials coming. And they come right along. One day I can type notes on my phone, and the next day I discover my fingers are pointing different directions. Apparently some arthritis setting in, and every time I go to hit yes to that, it types a W. That phone is so stupid. I don't know why I call this one. Second Peter 1 and 2. Excuse me. Second Peter 1, verse 5. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. By the way, the diligence is haste. Applying all haste in your faith, supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness, love. And the steps to getting to love include perseverance? Yep. It's part of it. We got to do it. We need to do it. We want to do it. Let's have some fun. Let's go to Revelation. And I'm gonna finish in the book of Revelation, so we'll just go right through these pretty quickly. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He got thrown there because of what he was saying about Jesus. He got stuck on an island. Great. Wonderful. Beautiful tropical island with palm trees and beautiful beaches so he could relax and retire, right? That's what you do with prisoners. Revelation 2:2, in the statement to the church in Ephesus, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves an apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Perseverance is the way we build up that spiritual strength that we can keep going. We do it. We practice it. We start and we just keep going. Working endurance in our deeds and our toils. In verse 3, then we saw, for his name's sake. Why would I persevere? For his name's sake. That's a good enough reason. That's plenty of reason. That's more than enough reason. How about Revelation 2:19? I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. Wow. You mean with a little bit of perseverance when I'm younger and get into those trials and the trials build me up, and as I get built up and I get better and better and stronger at the Word of God and sharing with people, and I've learned some patience and endurance instead of whipping it right out and saying, hey guys, you're in a cult. Did that once, had somebody's hands on my throat. My brother-in-law, but as you can tell, we're still brother-in-laws, but and he didn't finish the job. I learned a little bit. Uh-oh. Don't call it a cult until he's ready to hear that it's a cult. Got to learn. So I'm better now than I was then? Yeah, even though memory's not quite as strong as it used to be. I got to have more notes. I got to pay stronger attention. But I will because I want to persevere. How about chapter 3 and verse 10? Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world and to test those who dwell on the earth. So if our perseverance is, if we're doing the work we're supposed to be doing, if we're enduring, working endurance, then we're going to get to pass the worst parts of it. God's not going to keep us here when the whole world gets that test, and they get thrown into hell. Chapter 13, verse 40. Revelation 13. And I said 40, I meant 10. That's close. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and faith of the saints. Perseverance connected to faith, connected to saints. Whatever it is, what sword is it that we use? I know to my grandsons, they were thinking this thing you kind of pull out of a sheath. Well, you do, but it's this word of God. It's his sword that we use. Captivity, sword, killed, perseverance. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. By the way, did you catch that? This is the perseverance and faith of the saints. So what is called in the Reformed theology, was called in Calvinism, the perseverance of the saints has to do with the Word of God. How about over here in chapter 14 and verse 12? Here is the perseverance of the saints. It's not here. It's here. And just so you know, I'm pointing to my Bible. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. That's our perseverance. That's how you know. And it's not an invisible church or invisible group who's saved. It's not an invisible bunch. It's the visible bunch who persevere. And that's the perseverance of the saints. In that earlier definition from the dictionary for perseverance, it said, maintain a purpose in spite of difficulties or obstacles. And then here's a saying that I just happened to come across, and it's amazingly accurate. A man without purpose distracts himself with pleasures. Perseverance will help us to put up with what we got to go through, to deal with what we have to deal with, to work hard to save somebody we don't really want to feel comfortable around. But a man without a purpose, he'll distract himself with pleasures. Let's go have some fun. Let's not distract ourselves, please, saints, with pleasures or figure we're in so we just can relax. Let's demonstrate the true perseverance of saved. Let's keep His commandments. Let's keep the faith of God and in Christ. Thank you.